Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all may believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the paths, the way of the Lord.'" As the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Please be seated. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to receive you again this Christmas. Let us hear the calls of John the Baptist and others who would call us to prepare the way, to make the path straight, to open our hearts, our homes, our communities, and our world to your light, your life, and your peace. May we dwell richly in your word this morning and go from here to help prepare the way. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist and I have a strange, and you might say strained, relationship. For years, I have struggled with what to preach about him, and honestly resented having to do it so often. John always gets 2 out of the 4 Sundays of Advent every year, and then we see him again in just a few weeks at the baptism of Jesus. That is a minimum of 3 sermons a year about John, times 20 years of ministry. That is at least 60 sermons involving John the Baptist, and probably more. How much can you say about a guy dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist and who eats locusts and wild honey? Now, make no mistake, John is critically important. He is the herald of the change, the voice telling us to get ready for Jesus. But he gets a lot of airtime considering the relatively small amount that the gospel writers have to say about him. In fact, Mark says so little about him, and that was the reading we had last week. Mark says so little that we have to add this passage from the Gospel of John, different John, for this week, which is nearly the same reading. This is not helping my feelings about it at all. But this week, something new occurred to me that put John into a whole new light. I realized that John the Baptist was a pastor's kid. A pastor's kid, a PK. John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest. The story goes that one day when Zechariah was in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that despite the fact that he and his wife were old, that they would bear a son and that he should be named John. Gabriel said, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." On the 8th day after his birth, at his presentation, Elizabeth and Zechariah declared their intention to name the boy John, as the angel had said. However, some family and neighbors protested, saying, "None of your relatives have this name." Now, naming is very important in the Bible. And this name was different from all of the other names in the priestly line of his family. It meant that John was destined for something different than his father. He would not be a priest. He would be something else. Like many pastors' kids, he would follow a different path. And it says in the story that the people there wondered, what then will this child become? All this gives me a greater appreciation for John because I know something about pastors' kids, having four of them myself. In addition, I have pastor friends who are PKs, who have PKs, and we have some members of our church that are PKs too. It's a complicated experience being a pastor's kid. PKs experience all the community and love and support that a church can give, but it also comes with being observed, being a public person at a young age, with unspoken expectations and sometimes internalized pressures. I've always tried to be clear with my own kids that this is my path and not theirs. And only two of my four kids chose to be confirmed. And yet, recently, my eldest, Ellie, who is studying political science in college, said to me, "Dad, I think I might also minor in religion." What? I think I might have said, "Just don't major in it." I don't know, but... And I've shared that my son, Finn, who chose not to be confirmed, wrote a one-act play called Angel Diner, all about searching for God and finding community in the midst of suffering. He screened the recording here at church, and I saw how he had absorbed the stories of his friends as well as the stories from this church and reflected them back to us through art. And for the spring musical production of Footloose at the high school, he tried out for the role of pastor. You cannot make this up. What then will this child become? John took a different and yet related path from his own father, Zechariah. While Zechariah followed the priestly path that had been handed down through the generations, serving in the temple, John did his ministry on the banks of the Jordan River. While Zechariah made incense offerings to God in the sanctuary, God called the people to repentance and forgiveness. John had none of the trappings of institutional religion, but like a good PK, he knew his Bible, quoting Isaiah, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make God's path straight." While people may not have known what to make of John, he knew exactly who he was called to be and what he was called to do. And John's version of the story makes that clear. John had caused such a stir that priests and Levites who assisted the priests were sent from Jerusalem to find out what was going on. I wonder if any of them knew John's dad. And they asked him, "Who are you?" And immediately said, "I'm not the Messiah." "Are you Elijah?" they said. "Nope, not Elijah." "Are you the prophet?" "Nope, not that either." "Then who are you?" And John said, "I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As for the one who is coming after me, I am unworthy to untie the straps of his sandals." Later, when Jesus asked John to baptize him, John at first refuses and says that it should be Jesus who is baptizing him. Later still, John would send his own disciples to go and follow Jesus instead. It reminds me of the band song that we'll sing later this morning, "I'm Just a Nobody, Trying to Tell Everybody About Somebody That Saved My Soul. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus." That was John. Not a priest, not a Messiah, not Elijah, not the prophet. John was not the way, but he prepared the way. He did not regard his own miraculous birth as a divine birthright or with a sense of entitlement. He was humble, a servant of God, like his father and mother before him. What then will this child become? That is the very question that will be on our lips next Sunday on Christmas Eve. But we will be asking it about the Christ child. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? We know what he will become, but maybe another way to ask it is, what and who will he be for us this Christmas? A Prince of Peace in a world at war? A wonderful counselor in a world full of confusion and grief? A mighty God protecting the weak and powerless? The Eternal One who will draw all people to God's self? Like John, we can humbly prepare the way for this child. We can share how through his birth, God is born anew in our lives and in every life. How through the cross, God suffers, waits, and weeps with us and never leaves us alone. And how through his resurrection, new divine life springs forth even amidst so much death. We point the way in our humble service to our neighbor, in our practice of welcome and hospitality in this season and beyond. We point the way when we notice and name those holy moments that break forth in our ordinary days, when we advocate for the poor, the invisible, and speak for the dignity of each person made in the image of God, when we retell the story of Christmas and hold the hope of Christmas throughout the year, when we let our light shine during these longest nights of the year, when, like John, we are each the people that God has made us and called us to be, not trying to be someone or something else. John knew that the one coming after him would change everything, and so he did, and so he will again. May we open our hearts to receive him and turn our hearts to our neighbor to share the good news that Jesus is coming, that God is with us. Amen.